CliffCentral.com.
There are all kinds of things in the world of motoring that we get to speak to George about every day, every week rather. And you don't want to miss their Auto Central show, which is also still on CliffCentral.com. A fresh episode every week. You need to go and check it out on the website. What do you got for us today, George?
Well, talking about flying things, Gareth, the world's first flying car travels 100 miles per hour at an altitude of 10,000 feet and is approved. I think this is the important part, by the Federal Aviation Authority, the FAA, in the United States. So this car is allowed to fly at the moment. It's not allowed to drive on the roads because it's not approved for roads, which is a funny part.
Oh, so it can fly now, but it can't drive on the roads. The whole point is you want it to be able to do both, for heaven's sake. What are these people not understanding? George, every time I think we've made a breakthrough, then there's something that holds us back.
Well, apparently that's it's less cumbersome to get approval to drive on the roads over there than it is to get to fly. So I think they've done the hard part.
Now, is this a vertical takeoff and lift car?
No, it's a it needs a runway, it has to use a runway, but it can take off apparently while driving within 1 minute.
Okay, but you see, George, again, we're going backwards here instead of forwards. The whole reason I wanted one of these cars, and who knew we'd end up in a time where traffic would come down rather than go up, but thanks to COVID, that's the reality. So this thing needed to be, all I wanted was something that if I was stuck in traffic on the N1, I could switch on those jet engines and just lift up and go. That's all I
think. I think that's coming. It's you know, drones are making that possible. I mean, this lot, you know, I would imagine this design has come from years ago, because if you look at the image I just sent you, it looks like a frog.
It's a very ugly little car, a very ugly little plane, actually. It's got little fold-out wings. This is not what I had in mind.
Not inspiring.
No.
Mercedes, Beer, who, what, which is the, who's the company?
No, it's not Mercedes. It's an independent business, and
it's called the Terrafugia Transition.
Yes.
That's also not a good name.
So they got no car experience.
Well, I don't think they've got any.
Have they got plane experience? Flying experience.
I would imagine they would have flying experience, but I don't know. Maybe you can tweet the CEO, Kevin Colborne.
Yeah.
Kevin Colborne.
Damon's going to tweet him and then get canceled. Yeah, he will. All right.
And he'll phone me.
Yeah, he'll phone you and ask you for an apology. All right. So what else is going on, George?
Well, it's a little bit of an exciting app. I want to go and check it out over the weekend and see whether South Africa exists in this app. But a gentleman or a guy named Erkan Sirker, a Turkish graduate student, was tired of not being able to drive around his city. So what he did was he created an app, a virtual reality app that has 53 cities built in, and you can take this virtual tour of your city and listen to local radio stations as you go along.
Wow.
So it's called Drive and Listen.
Okay.
So I want to go and see whether he's thought of Africa at all.
That's very clever. All right. I'd be interested to see that. Cool.
Very, very clever, I thought. And then I don't know if you heard about the Cape Town story. Sadly, this week, one of the luxury dealerships in Cape Town, called the Toy Shop, was vandalized by 40 people.
All right. So what actually happened? You might have more info on this, because what I heard is that it was people who came in, they demanded two cars. Then the dealership said, F you, obviously, because they hadn't paid for any car. And they just brought a bunch of guys in with golf clubs and baseball bats and whatever else they could find, and they just started smashing up the cars.
So there's no more information than that, exactly what you've described is what everybody knows. I try to phone the owner of the dealership to express our horror, but he's obviously busy with dealing with this issue. But it's sad that 40 people can walk into a business and just stuff things up like that.
And we don't know anything about any motive other than just vengeful nastiness.
Exactly. You know, it might come out over the coming days, but at the moment we don't know much.
Very well.
Are there any leads?
George doesn't know yet. What is George the investigating officer?
Well, in other words, CCTV footage.
Yep. Yes, CCTV footage. You can see the video of them smashing up the cars, walking around, baseball bats.
All luxury cars, like fancy cars, like sports cars.
Lamborghinis, Porsches.
Oi, oi, oi. And are you insured against something like that? I doubt it.
Well, the dealership would be insured against something like that, I'm sure.
Whoa, I hope so.
I mean, it's a very sad story, but what I found kind of comical in the video, one video was the guy walked in and tried to smash the car's window with a mop. I don't know if you saw that.
Fucking idiots.
Look, it was his first time.
Oh.
Exactly.
It was resourceful.
So, George, on your previous story, Peter Snyman says that in Johannesburg, you can actually find the Joburg Drive and Listen, and you'll be
lovely.
So you can go and check that out. Good stuff. Thanks, lovely. Peter. All right, cool.
Yeah, and very, very lastly, I don't know if you watched or even considered watching the State of the Nation address, Sona.
No.
But I'll focus only on the automotive sector for a second. And that is our transport minister outlined a number of initiatives which are currently being worked on by the department, including scrapping 63,000 taxis and sorting out the issue of e-tolls. So a previous one could be possible. The last one, I don't know what sorting out the issue means, but he says he would prioritize shifting road to rail. Now we've had a fantastic rail network in South Africa, and we should use it.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially for freight, because part of the reason that our roads were and remain so congested and that we have so many accidents is because there's so many huge big trucks on them that don't need to be there. A lot of that stuff could move to rail.
It could move to rail. So the transport minister says that a focus on moving road to rail, specifically for freight, as you say, is the thing that that we're supposed to supposedly going to be focusing on. But the taxi recapitalization plan or program apparently will deliver the scrapping of 63,000 taxis. Now, if I remember correctly, we did this about a decade ago, didn't we?
No, 1996. That's when the government first said they were going to do it, 1996.
But hang on, this is all good and well until you remember who our transport minister is. And when you realize it's Fikile Mbalula, you're like, well, all of this is just theory.
And what are they going to replace the taxis with?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, years ago, they tried to replace them with those bigger taxis.
Yeah.
I think it was a 20-seater or so.
Which has been done, but to a very, very small degree.
Very small degree, exactly. So let's see what happens with these 63,000 taxis. And then that's all I have for you this week, Gareth. But what I'm concerned about over the weekend, and maybe a reason to stay indoors, is you've heard about this sulfur in the air.
Yeah, it's from Mpumalanga. Jeez, it smells. I mean, it's like really bad. And for people with allergies, it's affecting them horribly. I think that's what I had.
My next door neighbor's got one of those air purifiers. It's a smart air purifier made by Xiaomi. And I went to go and Google it. And apparently it's one of the worst air purifiers on the market. It only gets about a 65% particle removal result.
Uh-huh.
Whereas others get up to 90% of particles, big particles removed. But nonetheless, it's a smart air purifier, and it was saying during the course of this week, your air in your house is bad.
Really? So it actually picked it up all over Joburg and Pretoria, apparently. Listen, it's not good. I just want to go to a quick email, George, before we say goodbye. This is from Oki. He says on the issue of the minister of transport, actually. He says, I'm not sure if you guys have discussed this already, but what do you think of the new 0% limit when driving? I think we have addressed it at a certain point, but he goes on, it means that you'll not even be able to have one beer or glass of wine with your meal at a restaurant. Who could have a steak without a glass of red wine? Or shall I ask, who wants to have a steak without a glass of red wine? It's going to be hard on the restaurant business, the pub business. They're already suffering. There is no way that you can use your own transport if you're going out to dine and have alcohol. Even with parties at your house, that'll mean nobody can drive home. You will have to use Ubers or taxis. It's pretty crazy. What do you think, Oki?
Well, I mean, let's just kind of what are the limits? So the Transport Minister did address this in the State of the Nation address and said the concentration of blood alcohol in the blood specimens must be less than 0.05 grams per 100 milliliters. And in the case of a professional driver, less than 0.02 grams per 100 milliliters. And we're moving to a 0.0, which is zero, nothing. You're not allowed to have anything in your blood. I'm all for that. Yes, you know, everybody wants to have a glass of wine with their dinner and with their steak and whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, you know, people don't they don't respect the fact that drinking and driving is bad. So while this is going to be hard to police, and I think it's going to be difficult when you eat other things and it contains alcohol like cough mixture. So policing of it is another story. You know, something to make our roads safer. The policeability of it is a question mark for me.
And it'll be a boost for Uber.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I want to have a glass of red wine with a steak. I'm in the same corner.
Well, I must tell you, these days, if I know I'm going to even have one drink, then I get an Uber. And even if it's expensive, it's just way cheaper than having to deal with fines and possible arrests and everything else.
Exactly.
All right, George, thanks very much. Good to speak to you, as always.
CliffCentral.com